Reading these because of the importance of these scriptures we're going to have tonight. Proverbs 4:13, take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Now he's talking about the instruction from the Word of God. Take fast hold of it, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. And then let's go to the 8th chapter of Proverbs and read verse 32 to 35. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Many of God's people refuse this when you give it out. They don't believe what you say is truth, so they don't want it. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Did you ever do that? You wait in the morning for the Lord to give you some word that is so precious that that's what you need for that day? We'll read that 34th verse. This is Proverbs 8:34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life. He's not talking about natural life here at all. This is spiritual life. And shall obtain favor of the Lord. Those are wonderful. I love this book of Proverbs. When we studied it, it was so rich to my heart, and I'd love to go over it again. Well, let's turn now to Hosea. And in our last study 2 weeks ago, we ended with the 11th verse. This is all, of course, pertaining to God's judgments against the 10 tribes first, which is called Ephraim or Israel. And then later, as we get into the lesson tonight, we'll find that Judah, the two tribes, also began to turn from the Lord. Let's read from the 6th verse of Hosea 4. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Now keep in mind, if we reject him, he's got a right to reject us. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law or the word of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, that is religious people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people like priests. The leaders do the same thing. And I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. In other words, they can't get enough money. What they get goes in the bag with holes in it. So they have to use it in our day. They have to use their credit cards, and then they get in debt so deep that they can't get out, many of them. For they eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the understanding. That word heart there is understanding. So in these verses we found out, especially this 11th verse, when God is not honored and his word rejected, man himself is not respected. Defection from God brings disaster in the social and in the home life of a nation. And I want to read out of Isaiah. Now remember, this nation, I remember in the early 60s, we lived down on South Exchange at the time. Khrushchev said at that time, we cannot destroy your nation from without, but we can do it from within. And that is what is being done. This nation is being destroyed by Satan. When we go to Isaiah, the 3rd chapter, the sad thing is, as we read here, the home life is not anymore. With the broken homes and the idea that the woman has to work and all this. Isaiah 3, this is a picture here of what we see today. And I want to read from the 16th verse. Moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. This is a picture of what we see in the public life of women today. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day will the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, and their cauls or their networks, and their round tiers or crescents like the moon, the chains or the pendants, and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs, the headbands, the tablets and the earrings, the rings and the nose jewels. We were at a restaurant here not a while back. This girl had her cheeks. This is what he's talking about here. Women. Ungodly. It's not of the Lord. The rings and the nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles, the wimples or the shawls and the crisping pins, the glasses or the hand mirrors and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell there shall be a stink or rottenness, and instead of a girdle a rent or an old piece of rope, and instead of well-set hair there will be baldness. And instead of a stomacher, this was a broad embroidered girdle, a girding of sackcloth, speaking of mourning, and a burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty men in the war. What's going on today? Same thing. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground. This is what this nation is coming to. It's that way now, and it's going to get worse because of their rejection of the Jesus Christ, of the Lord himself. So tonight we want to pick up here in Hosea, the 12th verse of the 4th chapter. We're just going to take these a verse at a time tonight. My people ask counsel at their stocks. These were their wooden idols. And their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. Notice the wording here. These are his people. God brought them out of Egypt by his grace, and he was their husband, but they're rejecting him. These stocks, literally, they will be on their stocks, these wooden idols. They depend on them wholly and habitually. And the staff here alludes to the divination by rods. And only a fool would degrade himself to this. This is demonic worship. Idolatry is demoralizing as evil spirits lurk behind these idols and blind men's minds, and Satan darkens them, and they're lured into sin. This is what we see today in this world. They are no longer under their God, but they are under these stocks. Notice that. They've gone a-whoring from under their God. They're not under his protection now. This is these 10 tribes, the 10 northern tribes, were the first ones that left. And we'll be reading some more about this a little later. This 13th verse says, they sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms. The reason? Because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. They sacrifice to these idols on tops of the mountains, under the oaks, under these trees, because of their shadow is good. They thought that their wickedness would not be seen by God. And I want to read something out of one of the study books that is very enlightening. And if we take it in, we will begin to understand why man today is an enemy of God. One of the things we tell ourselves when we attempt to run away from God is that if we forget him, he will forget us. But God does not forget us. On the contrary, he knows all things, including all we are and do, and this is frightening to the natural man because they don't want God to know what they're doing. Actually, it is a cause for resentment and even hatred for God. There's an old-time preacher. They sing about these on these videos. And by the way, one of the groups that sings on these videos is a Jewish family, the Isaacs. And Lily, the mother, her mother was in the concentration camp. They went into Poland, and they took that whole, they just took all the Jews. And they put her mother in a concentration camp, along with some of the other families. She, Lily, at that time was quite young. So see, there are some living that know that this is true. They're trying to tell people today that that didn't happen, but it did happen. This Jonathan Edwards, he was an old-time preacher. He had a sermon entitled, Man Naturally, God's Enemies, God's Enemy, in which he listed the attributes of God that sinful men and women dislike and showed why we dislike them. He wrote, though they are ignorant of God, yet from what they hear of him and from what is manifest by the light of the nature of God, they do not like him. By his being endowed with such attributes as he is, they have an aversion to him. They hear God is an infinitely holy, pure, and righteous being, and they do not like him upon this account. They have great aversion to him because he is omniscient and knows all things. Because his omniscience is a holy omniscience, he knows everything that goes on, and they don't like that. They are not pleased that he is omnipotent and can do whatever he pleases because it is a holy omnipotence. He has all power. Whatever comes, he has that power. He's the one behind it. They are enemies even to his mercy, because it is a holy mercy. They do not like his unchangeableness, because by this he never will be otherwise than he is an infinitely holy God. According to Edwards, all are naturally God's enemies because of five things. God's holiness, because we are not holy, and man knows he isn't, so they don't like God. God's omniscience, because he knows we are not holy. God's omnipotence, that he's all powerful, because this offends our desire for self-government. We don't want anyone else to have control over our lives. We do not want to obey God, in other words. When the Lord, he says, together, together, and so much the more as the day approaches, we just turn away from that. We will not do it. What I've got to do is more important. We want to govern ourselves. This they don't like. And they don't like God's mercy because it is a holy mercy. And God's immutability, or his unchangeableness, because God will never be other than he is in these offensive, quote, attributes. They think that offends them if somebody else takes control of their lives. Each of these attributes of God deserves careful consideration and indeed has been studied elsewhere. And that was good. We had to bring that in because these men have studied. You know, back years ago, they didn't have what we have today to fill up the time with a lot of stuff that isn't profitable. And they studied the Word, and they learned to know what God is, and they learned to be like him. All right, let's look at this 14th verse now in Hosea 4. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves, that is, the husbands and the priests, are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall. The husbands of the priests, the leaders, are the ones God holds responsible. Today, as Jesus said in Matthew 15:14, I'm going to read it. This is what's going on in the world today. The Word of God is not being taught. People are not learning that of the two creations, that we have an old man and a new man. These truths are not taught. Matthew 5:15-14, talking about these. Well, let's go down here toward the 12th verse. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? These were the religious people. After they heard this saying. But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. This is talking to us too. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Jesus himself speaking these words. Remember, he was God. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When he came, and this is what something Brother Smith brought out in his letter, when he came into this world, He came in the form of a little sperm inside of Mary's womb. But he's the one that made the world. In him everything dwelt. He made all things. But when he came in that form. And he became dependent upon Mary and Joseph. Precious. This is the one that's talking here. He is God. Dear ones, we're not fooling with another man when we reject the truth. When we think we can go our own way, we're rejecting the God of the universe, God, Jesus himself, that one of these days we're going to stand before. In these verses here in Hosea, God, through Hosea, has presented his indictment against Israel, and he exposes the root cause. They were at the point where God would not intervene to avoid judgment. They'd come to the place that God wasn't going to help them. If they didn't want him, he turns. Now in this 15th verse, though thou Israel play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend. And come not ye unto Gilgal, neither go up to Beth Aven, nor swear the Lord liveth. He turns here from Israel to the 10 tribes, to Judah, the two tribes, and warns them, let not Judah offend. Come not ye unto Gilgal, and then, or nor to Beth Aven. He's talking to Judah. When the 10 tribes separated from the two tribes, Jeroboam was the king over the 10 tribes. And you can read of this in Joshua, the 4th chapter. Well, let's read there, Joshua 4. You know, when we give out the word, this word like we're giving out tonight, I think of these dear prophets, Jeremiah and Hosea and many of the Old Testament prophets, and even Paul himself. They gave out the word that the Lord gave them, and they realized it was God's word and it was serious. And we feel the weight of what we give out when we give out the word of God. Joshua 4 and the 19th verse. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And this is, and then I want to go down to the, in, over to the 5th chapter and the 10th and 11th verses. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. In other words, they didn't eat of the manna anymore. The manna ceased, as the 12th verse says, after they had eaten of the old corn. When they entered Canaan, we began to eat of the old corn of the land. Gilgal means a rolling away, and this is where Israel kept the Passover, as we said, when they entered the land of Canaan. When the 10 tribes went north, they made Gilgal one of their idol places where they worshiped idols. This is how far they had gotten from walking with the Lord. And the other place that we read of here in this 15th verse of Hosea 4, he says, neither go ye up to Beth Aven, nor swear the Lord liveth. Beth Aven means house of vanity. They had exchanged Bethel, which means the house of God, for Beth Aven, the house of vanity. And they set up these idol shrines at these places to worship. And Amos, in the book of Amos, when we get there, he's going to talk more of this in his little book. They mingled all this in oaths to the Lord, or they would swear to the Lord, and then they would mingle this, intertwine it with their idol worship. Same thing that's done today. We go to some of these, people go to some of these religious places thinking that they're worshiping the Lord. They mingle that with their self-worship, with their idol worship. All of this is being done today. And Jeroboam, when he went up there, and we'll find the scripture for this after a little bit, but they, maybe it's in 1 Kings 12, let's see if this is where it is. He didn't want these people to go back down to Jerusalem to worship. So, yes, this is where it is. In 1 Kings, the 12th chapter. Remember, they were in utter rejection of their husband and of their Lord. They did not want to listen to him. And they're in the condition they are today because of it. 1 Kings 12:25. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein, and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel, and made 2 calves of gold, and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. It's too much to go to church tonight. Same thing. They made calves of gold. What did they do when Moses went up on the mount? They made a calf of gold. They worship it. It says, It's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, which is Beth-Aven, the other, not too far from Bethel. And the other he put in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one even unto Dan. And he made a house of high places, or houses, plural, of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. See how far they gotten away from the Lord? And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month. That was not according to the word. On the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made, something that he made that they would worship. And he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places which he had made. And read the rest. No, let's read the last one. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised in his own heart, of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Thank the Lord for this word. Thank the Lord we don't have to go this way that Israel went. So Israel, they exchanged the house of God for a house of vanity. Now in this 16th verse of Hosea 4, now keep in mind when he speaks of Israel, he's talking about the 10 tribes. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. We've loaded a lot of these over the years. Heifers that don't want to go up the chute. And then they get things on slick, the runway gets slick and they slide around and then they jerk back and they get out of the yoke and they don't want to load. We've experienced this. It's hard to get them up the chute. They were sliding back as a backsliding heifer. Untamed heifer will throw off the yoke and it's stubborn. This is how many of God's people is what way Israel was. They're stubborn. That's the old creation. Over in 11:7 of Hosea, he says, And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they call them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. They're bent on this. They pull sideways or backways, a heifer will, to throw off the yoke. They are very unpredictable. You know, one thing we appreciated about many of the older saints that we know that knew that have gone on to be with the Lord is you could depend upon them. They were faithful. You knew they'd be at the meeting. You knew they wanted to yield to the Lord. There's many today that for some reason the enemy is just that you can't depend on them. They're unpredictable. It's just like this heifer. But in Matthew 11, I love this scripture. We don't throw off the yoke that the Lord puts around our neck. He's put a yoke around us, and thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. We don't want to be loose of it. It's the most precious thing that a person can do in this life is to allow that yoke to remain on that neck and to walk with the Lord. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. To be under that yoke is the most precious thing in this world. To let him lead us, to let him direct our steps. I wouldn't have chosen any other way than the way the Lord has led us this past 50-some years, almost 60. He's led us. And I thank the Lord we stayed under the yoke. Praise the Lord. So because Israel did this in the 16th verse, he says, now the Lord will feed thee as a lamb in a large place. A lamb is safer in a narrow, fenced-in place. But they didn't want to be protected by God. They didn't want to be under his protection. So the Lord says, all right, I'll take you into a large place. And that large place was Babylon, Assyria. They would not be fenced in, and they have gone through, just like Lily, Isaac's mother, they have gone through persecution, they have gone through death, they've gone, been put in gas chambers, they have suffered terrible, because the generations before them said, let his blood be upon us and our children. They didn't know what they were saying, but God still loves that nation. He hasn't forgotten them. And what is going on over there now is preparatory to what's coming to them. They are going to suffer in a way they've never suffered before. Now, we can apply this to Israel, but we can also apply it to each one of us. How do we feel about his word? Are we ready to accept it and believe it and walk in the strength and the power of it? This is what he wants. In the 17th verse, he says, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. This word joined here means binding with spells. They were bewitched. You know, Satan can bewitch you. He's the god of this world. He can bewitch you, and he can make you helpless, that you are willing to go his way instead of the way the Lord wants you to go. They're joined. They were under a spell. So the Lord says, let him alone. As the very pleasures that she had delighted herself with became utterly distasteful. The things that the 10 tribes delighted to do, they had pleasure in doing them. Their idol worship, everything, their whoring, their terrible things that they did, God made it distasteful to them. Did you ever get walked so against, in rebellion against the Lord and in sin, that you could just almost vomit up the way you were walking? Well, we have. And I thank the Lord he brought us to that place. We didn't want to walk in the flesh anymore. We wanted to obey the Lord and walk with him. Let him alone. The very pleasure she had delighted in herself with became utterly distasteful. This 18th verse, their drink is sour. The margin here says her rulers that are called shields, who were to protect them, they dearly love this shame, or they are going to give up to love. Her rulers are a shame. We see this today in this nation. Her rulers are a shame. Let them alone. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers or her shields with shame do love. And they say, give ye. They want more of this wicked way that in which they were going. They didn't want to turn to the Lord. 19th verse says, the wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. This is quite a verse. She hath sown to the wind, and she's going to reap the whirlwind. Over in chapter 8, 7. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up. This is a place that the Lord brought the nation Israel. After they went into the land, and the Lord gave them everything that they needed in that land. Remember, they were slaves in Egypt. They were slaves. And the Lord brought them out, and he gave them a land flowing with milk and honey, and it was. Everything that they needed was there, but they got their eyes off the Lord. Natural prosperity many a time can make a person feel they don't need the Lord. Back in the 30s, when we had the depression and people were going without, people went to the Lord. They went to the Lord. The camp meetings were just crowded because people, they needed the Lord more than anything else. These are the days that are precious to us. They came from miles. In fact, Brother Lee was a Chinaman. He came. There were many. There was a brother there that could speak the same language that my sister spoke. I forget his name, when she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he knew what she was speaking. These were the days that people didn't have much, and they ran to the Lord. They needed him. Today, we can just get anything we want, if we think we can. I want to go over to Jeremiah 4. Yes, they were contented with what they had. My family was one of them. We were thankful for what we had. But you feel a greater need for the Lord. You have a greater hunger for the Lord because you're not getting all these natural things that satisfies the flesh. And so therefore that new man is hungry. It wants the things of the Lord. And they ran to the Lord because of that. It is a precious time, Rob. We just can't explain it all. But when you have a need that, I just can't explain it. It's something that's wonderful. But you just run to him. The altars were full. Prosperity does take away a need for the Lord. This is what happened to Israel. This is what the word here is telling us tonight. We think, well, I can do something now. I've got this now. I don't have to, do what the word wants me to do. Let's read this in Jeremiah 4, 11 to 13. At that time shall it be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a dry wind of the high places in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan nor to cleanse, even a full wind or a wind too strong for these shall come unto me. Now also will I give sentence against them. Behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariots shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. This is what's going to happen to the nation Israel when all these nations come against them, and they're going to be in a place that they're going to have the Lord. They're going to have him above everyone else. When the Lord takes away things, and there were many that were sick, and they turned to the Lord for help, for healing. Going to a doctor you didn't do that back then. You went to the Lord for healing, and the Lord healed. Marvelous. Well, I had whooping cough when I was 2 weeks old, 1925. They didn't take me to the doctor. My folks believed the Lord, and I got over it. There are many things. My younger sister had appendicitis so bad. My folks trusted the Lord. You don't run to the doctor. You trust the Lord. We used to say, when you go to a doctor, you lean on the arm of flesh. Well, you do. But the Lord taught me later on that doctors are really ordered of God too, because when Paul needed Luke was there, the beloved physician. And a godly physician is precious. The Lord's given us some, and I thank the Lord for it. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go on in this fifth chapter of Hosea. We'll go down here a ways tonight. The title of this is I Know Ephraim. He says, hear ye this, O priest, and hearken, ye house of Israel, and give ye ear, O house of the king, for judgment is toward you or against you, because ye have been a snare on Mizpah and a net spread upon Tabor. We'll just take this verse at a time. A natural man, may attempt to run away from God, thinking we can forget him and he will forget us. But God knows all things and all we are, and he knows everything we do. We can't run away from him, especially if he's laid his hand upon us. We cannot get away from him. Like Hosea's wife, Gomer, Israel and now Ephraim were running from God. But now he comes and reminds her that he had not forgotten her, and of his holy knowledge that he knew where she was all the time. I love that. He knows where we are. He knows what we're doing, if we're pleasing him or if we're yielding to the flesh. He knows all these things. And this is why man doesn't like to be around him. They want to hide what they're doing. But you can't do it. Not with him. Hear God in this first verse. first verse, God addresses the priest, the people, and the royal court. Ye priest, ye house of Israel, and ye house of the king. The sin of idolatry had infected all of them. It has today, too. Idols today are everywhere. An idol is anything that comes between us and the Lord. Anything, whatever it may be. We worship it. If we put it ahead of the Lord, it becomes an idol. And Satan will bring us to the place that we will come to worship it. He'll see to it if we begin, if we let down that door and let him step inside the door. He'll take over. If we're not old enough in the Lord, we have to have the strength. We have to have this word. We need it. We need it. We need this word more than we need anything that this world offers us. There's so much, it's upon our hearts. Paul said in Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. A fool is one that doesn't believe in God, that won't believe his word. He's a fool. Instead of the leaders being watchers at Mizpah, this Mizpah in this verse means a watchtower. And instead of the leaders being watchers, they had snared the people. They had entrapped them. The Mizpah was in the east. And Tabor, and a net was spread upon Tabor. Tabor means a lofty place, and it was in the west. And it too became a place of idolatry instead of holding up God's word. Men laid wait in these places to entrap the people who wanted to go to Jerusalem to worship. They would be out there, and they would stop them. Do you know that there are still... Satan still has his emissaries today who are laying wait to just say, oh, you don't have to obey the Lord. You don't have to go there to worship. They're still out there today. Men laid in wait at these places that should have been places of worship to God, but that they were idol worshipers. In verse 2, and the revolters are profane to make slaughter. This means to make slaughter. In my margin means incorruption, or profane incorruption, though I have been a rebuker of them all. Now remember, Hosea here is experiencing this in his spirit, because his wife had left him, and she was a whore. She had gone, just like Israel, into whoredom. He was suffering. Now don't you think today that we that obey the word, walk with the Lord, suffer when we see someone who doesn't want the things of God? Yes, we do. We suffer because we know what they're going to go through if they don't yield to God. It's not going to be pleasant. Israel, from this time, when they were carried into captivity in 606 B.C., from that time on, until the end of the tribulation, when they accept Jesus as their Messiah, they have suffered. All these thousands of years they've suffered because of their rejection. These revolters were the apostate idol worshipers. They slaughtered. Notice here, they are to make slaughter or incorruption, but the King James is good too, because this slaughter is what they were doing instead of sacrificing unto the Lord. They were slaughtering these animals. This is how the Lord looked on it, because they weren't offering the sacrifices that spoke forward to Jesus Christ. In chapter 9:15 of Hosea, he says, all their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings, I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. See what God says? They're revolters. He says, I hated them. And I will drive them out of mine house. God doesn't want them there. And in this third verse, he says, I know Ephraim. I know. God knows. And Israel is not hid from me. This is back in the fifth chapter and the third verse of Hosea. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. Ephraim joined them. They're revolting. In Hebrews 4:13, when I read these scriptures, I think of those that gave out the word and of those that use these scriptures often. And this is one of the scriptures that my father used to use so often when he would give out the word. Hebrews 4:13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked. Now think of what we're reading. You can't hide one thing. All things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We have to do with him. We're going to have to do with him. We're going to have to present ourselves before him. We're going to have to do that one of these days. And then I want to go over to Amos. We'll be looking at this later on, Lord willing. We're still down here. He hasn't come and taken us home. But in Amos, the 5th chapter and the 12th verse, these scriptures are so descriptive of sin. 5:12 of Amos. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. This is what the Lord wants us to do today. Keep silent, be prudent, be wise and careful in action or judgment. The Lord has separated us from this world. We're not of it. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we keep our eyes upon him. We're separated unto him. He doesn't want us to partake of the things of this world. There are things that are necessary, but there are things that we have no business getting entangled in. So the prudent shall keep silent at that time, in that time, for it is an evil time. This was back then, but we today are living in an evil age. We read in, I believe it's in Timothy. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go on to this 4th verse in Hosea 5. This is quite a verse. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. Will not. Notice what he's saying. It isn't that they could. They could have done it. But they will not. For the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. This Hebrew, it says, their doings will not suffer them to turn unto their God. They will not permit their doings to be framed by God. In other words, they resist the Holy Spirit's power to change them and to renew them. They don't want the Holy Spirit to change their way they're living. They want to frame their own life, their own habits, their own way they're living. They don't want the Lord to change them to that they will learn to walk as a new creation and not after the flesh. This is what he's talking about here. And there was a man in the New Testament that was stoned because of this. Let's go to Acts 7. We don't know what's before us today. As we mentioned the other day, in this country now, 40 of these states, the Hamas are here. We do not know what's ahead of us here. If we stand for the truth, we don't know. Acts 7 and verse 51. Stephen, he says, ye stop talking to the religious people here. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Notice in heart. Vicki Moot spoke on the uncircumcised heart one year at the Bible conference. They don't want the heart to be chastened by God, to let the word cut it. Back last we read, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharp. It will cut. He says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. See, that's what they did. Here in Hosea, they resisted the Holy Spirit from working in their lives. And dear ones, if we know someone, and we do, who's resisting him working, it isn't that they can't let him, it's that they don't want him to. He says, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, or as it was ordained by angels, and you have not kept it. God ordained that law. It was holy, just, and good. But God gave it to them to show up their sin. What did these people do when Stephen said that? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But look how the Lord rewarded Stephen. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing." He was ready to come back. He hadn't sat down yet. He was still giving them a chance to accept his Son. He's up there today, just waiting, expecting. He knows he's going to come back. How many of us really want him to come back? How many of us really want to meet him in the air? This is what he's going to do. He says, 56th verse, he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and just stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And that's when the Lord got a hold of Saul, who later became Paul. All things work together for good. This battle that these people were going through in rejecting God, because it's a battle. We're in a warfare today, as Ephesians 6 tells us. And it's not a carnal warfare. It's against Satan. They will not frame their doings to turn to God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in their midst, and they have not known the Lord. The battle against evil always ends up as a battle of the will. The truth is that man will not overcome the sins of the flesh. I don't want to give this up. That won't hurt if I do this, something of the flesh. Yes, it will, because it will hinder growth. It will hinder, it will hurt the Lord himself, because Jesus put our sins down in that grave. He buried them, and he took them away as far as the east is from the west. And if we dig them up, they will stink. And if we hang on to something that we know isn't of God, it's because we don't want to give it up. It's our will. It isn't that it isn't possible, because through his Son, we can overcome. I remember a dear one that came and had a habit, a natural habit, which wasn't pleasing to be around. And one day she said, "Can you smell anything?" I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "The Lord took away my habit of smoking." See, the Lord can do it. It's a habit. If we want to keep it, we will not. We'll hang on to it. I want to read, let's read this fifth verse first in Hosea 5. "And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face." Yeah, that's pride. It's all it is. "Doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity, and Judah also shall fall with them." I want to go over to Proverbs 16:18, and I want us to notice this verse. And we were studying this, and we made a note in our Bible about this. My, more and more we know God wrote every bit of this. In Proverbs 16, in the 18th verse, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." This verse is the center of the Bible. It's the center verse of the Bible. It's what got Satan in trouble. God knows why man doesn't give up things of the flesh. It's pride. Same thing that Satan had. He wanted the place that God had. This is what man wants today. Now they're even talking about going to the moon again. Pride. "We're going to do this, and we're going to stay up there a month now." Man thinks he can get up to heaven without God. He can't do it. Now, this is really precious to me. Pride is often used to conceal our faults. It is. All right. In this sixth verse, Hosea 5, "They shall go with their flocks and with their herds." Now, this is quite a verse. "They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them." Isn't that sad? They'll go with their flocks, After they know what God is going to do, they said, oh, now I'll yield to the Lord. Now I'll do what he wants me to do. But the Lord knew their hearts. He knew the condition of their hearts. He knew that they weren't going to turn to him. And that's why he withdrew himself. And that's why he's still withdrawn himself from the nation Israel. And he'll withdraw himself from an individual. If an individual persists on walking in their own path, they're framing their own way, doing their own thing, their own will, the way I think I ought to do this instead of letting the Lord instruct us in righteousness. This old creation that we have within us does not want to be instructed by God. And the minute we realize that, we'll put him down and put him to death and never let him come up again. He will not listen to God. He will not. Because he's rebellious. We read about what the flesh is like in Galatians. All of this is against God. Well, we're going to quit here tonight. These are scriptures that are necessary for us to study. They're written here for our admonition and our learning, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. We are living at the end of the ages. We're living right down at that time. And as we see what's going on over there in the Middle East today, it just rejoices our hearts, because we know that those nations are there for one purpose, and that's to get rid of Israel. That's why they're gathering. That's why all the NATO armies are there, out of NATO. All of these others are there because for this one reason, to get rid of